Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit, the podcast that brings you the change makers in education. Tune in to hear from educational leaders who aren't content with the status quo educational model and are blazing their own path. Welcome to The Peg Doesn't Fit. Today, I have Ryan Orok. Is that how I say it?
Yep, that's correct.
All right. He's a superintendent and principal at Cody Kilgore School District way up in North Central Nebraska. And they've got some pretty awesome things going up there. And so we'll just jump right in. Thank you, Ryan, for being on here.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell me, what is your has been your educational career journey? Because that's what we educators love to tell about.
I started
as a teacher, blah, blah, blah. So let us.
Yeah, I'm from Minnesota. I graduated from Bemidji State University in 2009. And then I moved to South Dakota and served as a kindergarten teacher for White River School District in South Dakota for two years. And then I got into a master's program. I became a principal, an elementary principal after 2 years of teaching, and went up to Northern South Dakota in Timberlake. Mm-hmm. After 2 years of that, I became a superintendent slash principal at an East school, Bowdell, South Dakota. After a year of that, I got a superintendent job at Colombe, South Dakota, which is just a couple hours from Cody. Was there for 5 years. And then just the last 2 years now, I've been the Cody Kilgore superintendent principal.
So. Okay. Excellent. So what inspired you to become a superintendent? You jumped right into
principalship. I wouldn't even say that, you know, like something that I strive for when I first started, but I think it took good leaders in my buildings that saw that in me. I mean, they gave me leadership type roles,
right?
And actually referred me to the master's program because there's a lack of administrators overall. Sure. And they got things kickstarted, and yeah, I think I'm a big picture person. Like I like to teach in the classroom, but I like the overall impact of being a leader. So.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I called you on here because I'm fascinated by the Circle C market, which is, for those of you that are listening that have never heard of this thing, you got to look it up. It's actually circlecmarket.com. Yep. And it is a school run grocery store, essentially. I know that's more detailed than that, but at the core, it's a school-run, community-supported grocery store. So, Ryan, I know you have not been there the entire time. I think it started in 2015, correct?
Or something like that, earlier. Yeah, like 11, maybe?
Okay, so it's nearly a decade old, so you have not been here for all of that. But since jumping in, what has your support role been?
Just to oversee, you know, we have a teacher at that school that's our business teacher that runs the store, teaches classes over there, but, we have a board and I'm on that board and I oversee, as a school, we purchase things for the store, like as far as equipment and stuff, but just oversee the process, help with kids getting registered for classes. And, we got a store manager over there. Our teacher. So,
okay. Is it, in a sense, is it kind of like, I don't know that a school can have a money maker, but does it support itself?
It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's grown. I mean, just like any business you start, I think the school was more involved financially right away, but our community's really stepped up and supported this thing, bought their groceries from there as much as they can. And, we've got a good group of people, a board that oversee this and make sure we're being responsible with the money. And always looking for ways to improve it. And they're doing pretty good financially. Yeah.
So what would you like to improve upon there?
You know, just like everything, it starts out a lot of momentum. People enjoy it and you have all these great ideas. And then eventually it turns into something that maybe needs a little restart or reboot.
Sure.
So that's what we're looking into now, how we can get kids even more involved at younger ages and get them more involved in the finance side of things. So our work study program learning how to do all those things to be to manage a store, and then presenting to the board is kind of the overall goal to show that they have the understanding of business. We got a new teacher this last year, so it was kind of a nice way to transition some of that stuff and bring her fresh ideas in. So we're looking to revamp it, get students more involved in the process, but it's gonna be a work in progress.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm going to do this. I don't think I gave it a sufficient background, so I'll give a little bit of that, then I'll ask you some more questions about it. So I pulled it up here on circlecmarket.com, everybody. Once again, 2013, October of 2013 is when the background at least starts to show up here. And essentially the community needed a grocery store. It was closing. Community banded together. I'm really trying to summarize here as best I can, but I think it started before that, but that was when like the first shipment arrived of groceries. So before that, the groceries, the town needed a grocery store. Students wanted to pitch in, make this thing happen. And I think that's pretty cool, because I'm actually from a small town. I'm in Wichita as an administrator, but I come from a small town that the grocery store closed. And I think that is happening a lot around the country, especially in these smaller schools. And so it sounds like in Cody, that was one of the times where that was happening. And people stepped up and made it happen. Have you heard, in terms of like just the district, what made the district say, we'll do this? We'll take over. We'll give it a shot. Do you know?
I'm reading some of the history right now. It's just, they knew there was a lack of, people were worried about the town surviving, and it sounds like the community members got together, and I don't know much about how the school came into play. I'm sure there was some school leaders involved. It talks about Cowboy Grit being very involved with the members of Cowboy Grit put this together as far as the raising of money. But I don't have a lot of background knowledge.
Sure. No, it's impressive. I think like the very top row where it's talking about a group of kids presented their idea to a local entrepreneur, and that's how it kind of got going. Which is pretty awesome. I'm trying to connect with a district near here where it was actually, I think, superintendent driven. He wants to start a grocery store, which is great too. But I think how cool that the students said, hey, we want to make this happen. This is a way for us to learn business skills. We can make this thing work. Just give us a shot. I think that's mm-hmm. pretty cool, because that's what it sounds like is happening here. Or it did happen in Cody, and it's still happening today. So you said, I got a new teacher.
Yeah.
And we're going to use her fresh ideas to get this thing rolling. So do kids take classes that put them in there as like a, let's say, a typical class, or is it all work study stuff?
No. There's typical business classes. We do entrepreneurship, accounting, those types of classes. And then we do have, I think, two work study classes right now this semester we do have kids that stock shelves, that learn how to balance the checkbook, do those types of things. So, and that's the thing. I think that's where we got lost a little bit, just because it turns into a business. And you want to run it like a business, but we need to keep kids involved and get them involved in that side of thing.
Sure. That makes sense. Probably when you're like, that part of that learning process is always there are mistakes that could be made or whatever. And it's tempting to say, sorry, I don't have time to let you learn.
Yeah.
We need to make this thing.
Well, and being a small school and a small community, a lot of our kids, and to be honest, they participate in a lot of activities.
Sure.
So keeping kids involved and working too, and like Fridays and Saturdays and after school, gets to be difficult. So we've had to have community members step up and help in those ways too. Sure. And that's what really makes it go, though. Like those adults in the community that I mean, there's a lot that have donated their time to help mop the floors when it's needed. Like, those type of people keep a thing like this going, because there's times where it's hard to find help and kids are tied up.
Right. That makes sense. Has there been pushback in the community ever? Like,
you know, I've heard stories like when it first started, but I think that's just one of those things, like anything that's new, people get worried about it. Is this going to take away from this, this business? So I think people were just a little bit nervous about how it was going to look, but I'll tell you what, a majority of our community members really appreciate it, especially when we're a ranch type community where you might live 60 miles from the school. So we're very flexible with people like that and make things work for our families.
Sure. Yeah. So I have actually some just district questions, because I think that's not a, probably for the majority of people, they don't come from a district as small as Cody Kilgore probably is, just population wise in the US, like most people are in big cities and don't have any comprehension of this. So how big is your district student population?
We got about 160 students, pre-K to 12.
Okay. And you have, did you say like a customer would drive 60 miles to your store, or you literally have kids that might live?
No, we have kids that live. We have kids that live a long ways away. We also have a lot of South Dakota kids because we're so close to the border. It's normal for our, some of our ranch families to actually have a home in the town of Cody and live that 45, 50 minutes away or so. So they stay over, stay for the week, or they go back on, because we're a 4-day school week. So it kind of works nice for those families. They can be back home for at least 3 days. But yeah, we're just in a spot where we're so far away. I mean, we're 35 miles from Valentine or so.
Yeah.
Where these kids would have to be traveling a long ways if they had to go to a different school. So.
Wow. Yeah, there's, I'm sure you also have kids that live literally down the street, but what a cool thing to have such a wide range of geographic spread. Yeah. Wow. A home in town just so they can go to like hang out at school. Well, that makes sense. Good logistics.
Yep.
What kind of things do you dream of doing when you're saying like, let's make this thing freshen up, like how you're talking about expanding offerings or do that kind of thing?
No, not expand.
Or getting kids connected in different ways.
Yeah. Connected in different ways. Like I said before, it's turned into more of a business because we want it to be successful and ran professionally, but you know, giving students more ownership, more accountability, which I think we're getting, I think we're going to get there, but it's going to take time.
Okay. I think like this in general, you know, this is an entrepreneurial idea as a school district, but also through the kids, has this inspired thoughts of doing other things like this that break from the norm of traditional pre-K to 12 public education? Like, do you have any ideas of things you want to do, or is this kind of the thing?
I would say this is, I mean, I don't see any.
No other restaurants in the works. No. Or any farms at the school.
I do not see, you know, building. This is enough for our little school to take.
Sure. Care of, you know? Yeah. Okay. So this entire podcast is about finding change makers, hearing from you, learning from you. Whether you're a teacher, an administrator high up in your district, a board member, doesn't matter. And you're doing that right there in Cody Kilgore. So what is your advice for any teacher or maybe a district leader that wants to make that kind of change? You kind of got lucky. You got to come right into it and support it. But what if I have nothing going like that and I want to
try something? I mean, it's like any community. When you talk about anything that makes a small community successful, you got to have people that are willing to work hard for this and to push for it. Too many of these things, idea might come up, but you don't have those type of community members that are really going to put the time in and effort to really make it work. So I really commend our community, to be honest. I mean,
yeah,
this, like, there was pushback right away, but now you're always seeing people stepping up, donating their time, doing things to help our store grow. And we just have a special community that wants it to be there. They know how important it is to have a store in our town, and we need that buy-in to make it work.
I think I see that your word was getting out early on about what's happening. Kansas State had a rural grocery initiative that highlighted you way back in 2012, when I think it was just in its infancy as an idea, perhaps, and some other superintendents are visiting you. Do you get this attention much, or is it kind of like just the norm now?
No, I don't think we get a lot of attention, but we did have a school this last year. Kepaha came and looked at the idea because they were going to lose, I think, their store. The people that ran it couldn't run it anymore. So they were looking at the student idea. And for a lot of these small communities, it might be an option, because it's hard to find workers and hard to make it work financially in the small community.
Sure. Makes sense. Well, thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. And what can people do if they want to, are you willing to get in touch with people if they want to reach out and ask you more?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd probably get some of our grit people involved too, because they put a lot of work into this whole process, and they can give a lot better advice than I can, but I'm reaping the benefits of it. So
sure. Who should they start with? Should they start with you if they want to contact you, and you'll contact them with the, okay. Yep. All right. And I have your email address. Is that the best way to find you? I'll put all this in our show notes, but
absolutely.
Okay. And email is the best, right?
Yep.
All right. I'll put your email address in the phone or show notes, and people can reach out to you. All right. Well, with that, we will call it quits. Boom. Goodbye.